Recorded Books presents Shield of the Mighty by Connie Lynn Cosette. Narrated by Leah Horowitz and Jonathan Todd Ross.
From the Book of Psalms, Chapter 18, Verse 2, Holman Christian Standard Bible. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. A Psalm of Ronan ben Avidan. The Anointed One shall abide by the counsel of the Most High, the voice of the Ancient One to light his every step, a shield to both the humble and the valiant. His mighty fortress offers refuge to all who call on the name. From ashes and dust shall his glory arise, a diadem of splendor to grace the head of the lowly. His scepter lifted high shines justice across the land. Heavenly righteousness, like a river of gladness, flows from his throne. Selah. Prologue. Zevi. 1043 BC, Mitzpah, Israel.
Long live King Saul!
The shouts of the tribal leaders gathered in the valley echoed off the stony cliffs below our hiding place. A thrill buzzed in my chest as I met the wide-eyed gazes of my three cousins lying in the weeds beside me. Then, as if by silent accord, we too lifted our own voices to exalt the man who'd just been anointed the first king of Israel. Finally, there would be someone in command of the squabbling sons of Yaakov. Someone to inspire the tribes to fight under one banner, to mete out justice and make our enemies pay. And as soon as I was old enough to join them, I would have my own vengeance as well. For the space of five breaths, I was back in Zanoa, choking on ashes and shivering at the bottom of a half-full underground cistern as the feathered monsters of my nightmares stalked the streets.
He's huge! Exclaimed Gavriel, yanking me out of the gut-churning memory. Our enemies will lose their bowels when they see him coming. I can't wait to see them turn tail and run.
His fists clenched, jaw twitching. My cousin was nearly as hungry for battle as I, but would have to wait 2 years longer than me to join the army. I nudged him with an elbow. Soon enough, we'll both march in the king's ranks, carrying weapons you've made. Gavi's eyes flared, then took on a far-off look.
Perhaps, if I had the right tools and an actual supply of iron ore instead of scraps from old tools and broken knives.
Avidan reached over Shalem, the youngest of us, to clap Gavi on the shoulder.
You do some pretty impressive things with those bits and pieces, cousin. Maybe one day the king himself will wield one of your swords in battle.
When Gavi suggested he, Avidan, and I sneak onto this rocky ridge above the meeting where a new king would be chosen, I'd initially hesitated. Our families had come to Nioth to celebrate the autumn festivals a week ago, and would remain until the booths we'd built for Sukkot were disassembled before the arrival of a new moon. All our fathers would have our heads if they knew we'd snuck down into the valley before dawn to meet Gavi outside Ramah, and then walked an hour to Mitzpah in order to spy on the gathering of elders and tribal leaders. But the temptation to see a king selected by lots was far too enticing. So I'd agreed, with the understanding that Shalem, our spoiled younger cousin, was not to be included in the scheme. But of course Shay had followed us, like the little sneak he was. And like usual, I got talked into letting him stay because I'd always had a soft spot for the boy.
I wish I could go fight, too, Shay muttered.
The corners of Avi's mouth twitched down, his expression full of similar dismay. As Levites set apart for sacred service, neither of them would see battle. And truly, that was for the best. Though built like a warrior, Avi's true strengths lay with his silver tongue. Not warfare. And Shalem, with his brilliant mind and tender heart, would more than likely be among the vaunted leadership of priests and prophets who lived.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?